Today's daf is Yuma daf Mem Zayin. This is the beginning of the fifth parak of Maseches Yuma. Today's Gemara is going, the parak in general is going to continue to discuss the Avodah, the Kohen Gadol, and Yom Kippurim. Specifically, this parak is going to focus on what is done Lefnai V'Lefnim. So we know that he has to be Maktir Ketores Lefnai V'Lefnim. So the Mishnah starts to talk about how he would collect the Ketores and the Gechalim. We already discussed how he collected the Gechalim, but how he would bring the Ketores from a shovel into a spoon. Into the Kodesh HaKadashim. The Gemara is going to discuss why we use a kaf for the Ketores. Why can't he just take his handful of Ketores and go in that way with his hands full of the Ketores? Why does he have to use a kli at all? And why the Mishnah says that with the coals are held in the right hand while the Ketores is held in the left hand as he goes into the Kodesh HaKadashim. The Gemara is going to then tell stories of Rabbi Yishmael ben Kimchis, as well as a little bit about his mother, Kimchis, a very famous figure in Jewish history, this woman Kimchis, who's known for her tzinius. And then the Gemara at the bottom is going to talk about, going back to the issues of Ketores, is going to talk about whether we can use a kli for measuring the Ketores, the exact size of a kmitza when we deal with the Karban Mincha. We relate Ketores to Karban Mincha a lot, because Ketores, the Kohen Gadol takes a handful of the Ketores. By Karban Mincha, there's what's called the kmitza. The part that you burn is the three fingers full. So we discuss, we compare the two, the kmitza to the Karban Mincha. So to the Ketores. The Gemara is going to talk about what about the parts of a Karban Mincha when we take the kmitza. So whatever you take inside your hand is the part that gets burnt on the Mizbeach. Whatever doesn't fit into the three fingers in your hand, that's the Shirayim, that's the part that gets eaten, that doesn't get burnt on the Mizbeach. What about the parts that are stuck in between your fingers? Is that called on the inside or is that called on the outside? That's going to be Sugya on Amud Beis. And then on the bottom of Amud Beis, the Rav Papa is going to raise several sveikos about different ways of doing kmitza and different ways of doing the chafina of the ketores, the grabbing of the ketores, meaning the how to position our hands exactly when one does these avodos, the kmitza of the ketores and the clearing off of any of the extra is considered avodah kasha shebemigdash. So there are a lot of details that are associated with this. So let's begin with the Mishnah on the top of Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. Hotziu lo es hakaf. They would bring ves hamachdas. They would take out for the Kohen Gadol. They would bring out the kaf, the spoon, and the machta, the machta that was full of ketores. Meaning before we were talking about a shovel that was used to take the coals off of the mizbeach upon which we're going to burn the ketores. Now we're talking about a different shovel. They would bring a shovel full of ketores. Ketores is spices. They would bring a shovel full of ketores and a spoon, and chafan melo chafnav, v'nasal l'toch hakaf. He would take a melo chafnav, he would take a handful of the ketores from the shovel and put it into the spoon. So that's one avodah that he had to do. He had to take the ketores from the shovel that was full of ketores and put it into the spoon. V'nasal l'toch hakaf. Hagadol fi gadol, v'akatol fi katna. What shear, how much does he have to take? Well, it really depends on the size of the kohen. A gadol if he got though, if he's a larger kohen, so he has a larger handful. If it's a katan, if he got no. If it's a smaller kohen, so he has a smaller handful. So there was no given shear. V'kachay sumidasa natal, and that is the shear. That's how the Gemara is going to explain exactly what that means. Whether there is any, whether it's possible to make a measuring kli to do it, or a daf gaspi with the hand. Natal samachta biyamino v'sakaf b'smolo. Now that he has taken ketores from the shovel of ketores and put it into the ladle or spoon of that now holds the ketores that he's going to burn, he then takes the other shovel, the shovel that has the coals, and he takes that in his right hand and the kaf that's full of ketores in his left hand, meaning essentially the rest of the shovel of ketores he's not going to use for the ketores. He's using this handful for the ketores that is now in the spoon. So he carries that spoon in his left hand, the shovel full of coals upon which he's going to burn the ketores in his right hand, and we'll see what he does with it, but that's how he goes into the Kodesh HaKadashim. So says Gemara, Machta Hatanalei. What are we talking about? The Machta at the beginning of here, that we would Hotziu Lois Hakafes Machta, we'd bring out for him a shovel. We already discussed all about the shovel. Natalas Machta Valal Rosh Mizbeach V'Chota V'Yareid. How he would take a shovel, he'd go up to the top of the Mizbeach, he would shovel out a shovel full of coals, and he would come back down. So we already learned all about the shovel. What do you mean Hotziu Lo? Now they're bringing out a shovel for him. So the Gemara explains, like we said when we read the first line of the Mishnah, Hasam machted the kachal and vacha, machted the ktaris. There were two different shovels. There was the shovel of the coals, and then there's the shovel of the ktaris. So previously, when we spoke about him going up the mizbech and taking a shovel full and then going down the mizbech, that was a shovel full of coals. Now in our mission, we're talking about collecting the ktaris. So they'd bring out for him a shovel full of ktaris. He would take a malo chafnav from that and put it into the kaf. Tanya, like we learned in the Brisa, Tziulo asakaf reka milishcha sakelim umachta gedusha shel ketores milishcha spesavtinas. They would take out an empty kaf from the lishcha sakelim, from the room where they kept all the kelim, and they would take out a full heaping shovel full of ketores from the lishcha spesavtinas. The spesavtinas were there; they were the ones who made the ketores. So they would take a heaping shovel full of ketores out of there. And again, then we pick up with our mishnah. Then our mishnah says he takes the malo chafnav from the shovel and he puts it into the kaf. Chafan malo chafnav v'noslin tov kaf hagadol fi gadlo v'akatol fi katno v'kach ha'isam idasa. So that's what the Mishnah had said, that if he has larger hands, so he end up with more ketores. If he has smaller hands, he end up with less ketores. It all depends on the size of the kohen gadol. So kaf b'yom ha'kipur m'lomali malo chafnav v'hevi amarachmana. Why does he need the spoon in the first place to hold the ketores? If you look at the psukim in Chumash describe the avodah of the kohen gadol v'lokach malo he takes a shovel full of coals from the mizbeach, from on top of the mizbeach, mufnei Hashem. Umlo chafnav ketores samim daka vehevi mi beis laparoches, and umlo chafnav, a handful of ketores that are finely ground, and that's it. That's all it says. It doesn't say anything about a spoon, anything about a ladle. He just takes the ketores in his hand. So what's wrong with that? Why can't he just take the ketores in his hand? So says the Gemara, mishum delo efshar, because it's impossible to take with a handful of ketores. Why dehechi navid? What's he supposed to do? How's he supposed to carry everything at the same time? Na'il v'hadr na'il. What, do you want him to go back and forth, to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the shovel full of coals, and then come back out and take the ketores back in? Hava achas amarachman v'lo shtei avos. No, the Torah says that there's one hava for ketores, that he goes in one time, he brings everything in at once, so it's not, he can't go in twice. So nishkele l'ketores b'chofnav v'nachte l'machta d'gecholim ale ilave v'le. So what should he do? Should he take hands full of ketores and then rest the shovel full of coals on top of his hands, on top of the ketores that's in his hands, and go in that way? Well, that's great in terms of while he's walking, but kimati hasam, once he gets in, hechi lavid, what's he supposed to do? How's he supposed to remove the shovel full of coals from on top of the ketores? Because remember, the ketores has to end up on top of the shovel. So what's he supposed to do once he gets inside? He's not going to be able to do anything. So that's why it's critical that if he has two hands full of ketores, he's not going to be able to hold the shovel. So he's got to put it into a ladle so that he can hold the ladle in one hand and the shovel in the other hand. Because once he gets inside, if the shovel's on top of the ketores, he's not going to be able to do anything. So says Gemara, well, you want to suggest that when he gets inside, he could have the shovel full of coals on top of his hands full of ketores, and then remove the shovel full of coals with his teeth, and then put it down on the ground using his teeth, and then that way it'll be okay. One would not use his teeth to move around kelim in front of a melech basar v'dam. So in front of a kodesh baruch he better not be doing something like that. That's a very disrespectful way of doing an avoda. So we would never suggest that. So that's where the kaf comes in. He can't hold two hands full of ketores and at the same time hold a shovel full of coals. So you need the kaf to put the hands full of ketores into, so he holds the ketores in his left hand and the coals in his right hand. Hilkach lo efshar, so it's not possible to carry it in his hands and carry the coals as well. V'kivim lo efshar avdinu kadash kum in nesiim. So since it's lo efshar, we do, like we find by the nesiim, that the nesiim had ketores in a kaf. So since there's no other option, that's what we choose to do. Now Tosas raises the question over here. Tamely v'amr lekaman notel abezach b'roshay etzba. We're going to see in a couple of days that part of the avodah is done, according to at least one opinion, with his teeth. Shouldn't we have the same problem over there that we have over here? So he says, he says to make a slight adjustment. If something is on your hands and you just want to adjust its positioning on your hands, so then you could use your teeth to move it around. But to actually lift it off of your hands with your teeth and place it on the ground with your teeth, as if you're doing some circus act or something like that, that's completely disrespectful. But to just simply adjust it slightly using one's mouth, that is not a violation of disrespect in front of Melech Malchei Amlachim. So says Tosfos, Aval Temeli Lava the Machta Beis Yad Aruch De Belav Hachi Amrin Leel De Biyom HaKippurim Yada Arucha V'Yasla Beis Yad Arucha Shetegi Ad Beis Hashechi V'Yitfos Sab Beis Hashechi V'Rosh Machta Temunachas Al Yadav Oval Zroa Smoli Kimati Lufnim Yishal Shul Yadav Al Ritzba V'Yishmod Yadav Menachas Mitachas Machta V'Yosh Machta Al Ritzba. So Tosfos says, I have a better idea. Why do we have to have a kaf? Hold the ketores in his hands. Where's the shovel full of coals going to go? Well, anyway, the shovel, we already said, has a longer handle than the typical shovel that they use throughout the rest of the year. Remember, we had a Mishnah that described the difference between the shovel that was used to shovel up the coals in Yom Kippur and the shovel that was used the rest of the year. One of the differences was it had a longer handle. So he said, well, the handle's longer already anyway. Make it a little bit longer than long and have it reach all the way to the Kohen Gadol's armpit. And let him hold the shovel, the handle of the shovel in his armpit. You caress the other end of the shovel on his left arm, let's say. So you have it in his right armpit, the handle in his right armpit. It goes out and rests on his left arm as he's holding the ketores in his two hands. And that way, when he gets inside, he'll be able to maneuver everything. He'll be able to put it down using his armpit that way, and then he'll do the avoda of the ketores. So v'yeshlomer kiven debina mlo machta gachle eish. Says, because it's very hard to balance, and there's no way that all the coals are going to stay in the shovel as you're trying to maneuver things with the armpits. The avoda was not always easy, and there were parts that were hard to do, but it's too difficult. It's too difficult to keep all the coals in place if you do this. Or maybe doing avoda with the armpits is also disrespectful. Maybe just like using your teeth is disrespectful. So doing it that way is disrespectful also. So that's why that is no good, and that's why we use this kaf. And there is precedent for using kaf, kidashkam and nasiyim, like the Gemara had said, like we see that the nasiyim did the same thing. That's the Gevuras Ari's point. He says, why does the Gemara have to learn out from the Nasiyim? Just, it's lo efshar, so what else are you going to do? So of course you need to use a kaf. It's lo, why do we need the president? Why do we need the Nasiyim as the source for it? So the Gevuras Ari is miyashev, that without the limit from the Nasiyim, we would say that it doesn't work to be molech bekaf, because the kaf he was holding in his left hand, and halacha b'smol is psula, even midaraisa. Even though it would be disrespectful to do with the teeth, but if that were the only option, so that's the only option. Meaning, if that's the only way to do it in a kosher way, so that's it. So we need the source for the Nasiyim to show us that it's still kosher to do that way, that it's not a psul, even though he's carrying it with his left hand. Even though typically doing avoda with the left hand would be a psul, over here it's not considered a psul. Yeah, but I guess we see that it sounds more from the Nesim that you just see that it's the derech of Melech Malchei Amlachim, right? That it's that's okay. Bringing it in the kaf is okay. I guess that's called bringing of the ketores. I guess we do learn some inyanim of the ketores from there. I don't know. So he would take the machta, the shovel full of coals in his right hand, the spoon or the ladle of ketores in his left hand. So it says, what's more important over here? What do we call this? Avodah, he's being machtir the ketores. The gecholim are a hechi timtza to be machtir the ketores. You can't be machtir the ketores without a heat source. So he needs coals to be machtir the ketores. But that's all the coals are for. They're the heat source. So why is it that he's taking the secondary thing, the heat source, in his right hand? He's carrying the coals in his right hand, but the ketores, which is what it's really all about, that he's going to carry in his left hand, it's backwards. Yetziva ba'ara v'giyura b'shmei shemaya. What should the citizens be on the ground and the foreigner be b'shmei shemaya? Meaning any normal country that runs itself doesn't give extra privileges to people who aren't citizens. The citizens have special rights and privileges. People who aren't citizens are don't have as many rights and privileges. So it's backwards over here that you're going to have the ketores in the left hand and the coals in the right hand. So it says Gemara, zum ruba v'zum uates. Yeah, but practically the gechalim were many. There was much more and there was much less ketores. So you needed a stronger hand to carry the gechalim. V'afil b'zman sheshnei and shavin. And even if they were the same amount, k'maisa Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, like it came out once with the story of Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, which we'll see in a second. But still, zuchama v'zutzonenes, the gechalim were very hot, the ketores were cold, and therefore we want the stronger hand, which I guess will be able to withstand the heat a little bit more, to hold the gechalim rather than to hold the ketores, and we allow the smaller hand to hold the ketores. So says Gemara, Amar Lavel Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. So we mentioned something about Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. Somehow, even though normally there are way more coals than there was ketores, somehow by Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis was the same. The amount of ketores was the same as the amount of coals. Now remember, the amount of coals was determined by the shovel. We already discussed the shear of the shovel. So it was a set shovel, no matter how big the coin was, the shovel was the same size. When it comes to the ketores, it was melachafnaf, he was taking handsful, so it depends on the size of the coin gadol. So a larger coin gadol is going to have more ketores. So that's the part that could change. The amount of ketores is the variable that could go up and down based on the size of the coin gadol. So he said about Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, Shayachofen arba'as kavin b'mlo chafnav. He would hold four kavin in his m'lo chafnav. That's how big he was, that he had enough room for four kavin in his hands full. Va'omer kol ha'nashim zardu, v'zaradima ala legag. And he used to say that all women act valiantly, but my mother was more special. Her actions are over the roof. She's unbelievable how special she was. Ikeda amri ba'arson. Some say that this refers to our son. What's our son? So Rashi explains it's a type of dish that was fed to a chola or to a mu'beres. And what he means to say is that all the pregnant women, Tiknulem Zorid Va'arsan Lahavrososan, they made this type of dish for them to make them healthy and Vaha'ubrim, and to make the fetus healthy. But the ones my mother ate were really good, because look how big I am. I'm so big and healthy. I have these giant hands. I'm able to hold four kavin of ketores in my hands. So my mother did something right in pregnancy. Whatever she was eating, she was on good vitamins during pregnancy. Uchidraba Bar Yonasan, Dam Rabba Bar Yonasan, Rabbi Yechiel. Arson yafal chola, like Rabbi Yonasan says, name Rabbi Chil, that arson is good for a chola. V'ikadamri b'shichva zera. Some say he was referring to shichva zera. That Rabbi Avo asked the stira. Ksiv atizrani chayil melchamu. Ksiv hameazreni chayil melchama. So the one pasuk it has the word aleph in it. It has the letter aleph in the word. And the other one doesn't. And what it means to say is Amar Dov v'nekrosh baruch ribono shalom ziritani v'zirastani. That David Amelech was saying ziritani v'zirastani, that I have been taken, that I was taken from amongst all of the shichva zera, the one that inseminated my mother was the one that was the strongest and the best, and was able to produce the healthiest, strongest child. So that's the that's the idea that Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis was trying to say, that he was so strong, that he was so so either it was because of the nutrition his mother had while she was pregnant, or simply he had better genes came from his father's side. That is, that the shichva zera of his father, or not necessarily from his father, but his mother's ability to be collate the shichva zera that's the best and that was the strongest. That was that's what contributed to him being so strong. So the Meiri raises the question, how is a room for four, for if he had four kavan of ketores, there's three, how is a room for three kavan of ketores on a machta that would itself would only hold three kavan of gechalim? Like we said, how big was the shovel? The shovel only held three kavan of gechalim. So if his two hands full could hold, what did we say, four kavan of ketores, how is the room that he would, the way it's going to be burnt is they're going to leave the coals in the shovel and they're going to drop the ketores on top of the coals, and that's how the ketores Karbonos gets burnt, but the shovel's already full with 3 kav of coal. So okay, a little bit of spices you sprinkle on top and it gets burnt right away. But we're talking about a massive amount of spices. It should put out the flame, right? There's such a large amount. It's more than there is the gachelas. So how does it work? So he says that when we say that the machta held 3 kavin, it means for a kohen that's what they did for a kohen benini. But the Meiri is mechandesh that we said before, that variable doesn't change. The size of the shovel is the size of the shovel. The only variable that changes is the size of the handful of the kohen gadol of the ketores. So the Meiri says no, the size of the shovel will also change. If we see that we have a very big kohen and he's going to have a lot of ketores and he needs a bigger shovel in order to burn all this ketores, so they'd make a bigger shovel for him. They would use a bigger shovel. He says it's the only way it's going to work. Otherwise, it's not going to work. So one of the achronim points out, why don't you just say that he just put it little by little, that he just sprinkled it a little bit at a time until it got burnt, and then more, and then more, and then more. So it seems that it's just we don't find anywhere that happened, that that's the way they would do the haktaras haktaras. So it doesn't seem that way. Amru alav al Rabbi Shmuel ben Chimchis. We tell more stories of Rabbi Shmuel ben Chimchis. One time, pamacha siper dvarim maravi yechad b'shuk. He was talking to an Arab in the market. V'nitzot tzinorim mipiv al begadav, and a little bit of phlegm or saliva came from the Arab's mouth and landed on his clothing, on his begadim. V'nichnas yishevav achiv v'shimesh tachtav. So Yishevav, his brother, came and had to serve as the kohen, as a kohen gadol in his place. So Rashi points out over here that this, when we say pamachas, Rashi adds Yom HaKippurim haya, that this was Yom HaKippurim. Otherwise, why do we need anyone to be Oved Tachtav? Who says the Kohen Gadol doesn't have to do the Avoda any other day? It's only on Yom Kippur that he has to do the Avoda. So, but because it was Yom Kippur, so now he was Tameh, so his brother Yishevav took over. V'rasa iman shnei kohanim gedolim b'yom echad. And the nachas that the mother has, that she saw on one Yom Kippur, two of her sons serving as Kohen Gadol on the same Yom Kippur. That was what Kimchis got to see. Marsha points out that in the Yerushalmi it says that it wasn't on Yom Kippur itself, it was Erev Yom Kippur, because probably the Yerushalmi's didn't want to say that it was on Yom Kippur, because why would the Kohen Gadol be walking in the market on Yom Kippur? He's got better things to do than looking for good prices on whatever on Yom Kippur. What's he doing on Yom Kippur in the market? Tamar Tzchius raises the question that if it was Erev Yom Kippur, so why didn't he just go to the mikveh and then he would be tar in time for Yom Kippur? So the Tamar Tzchius says that when it says in Yerushalmi that he went to speak im hamelech erev yom hakippurim, he says no, Marsha misunderstood the Yerushalmi. It doesn't mean that he went to speak im hamelech kama erev yom hakippurim. He says there was a place called Erev. He went to speak im hamelech erev with the king of Erev on Yom HaKippurim, on the day of Yom HaKippurim. Quite an interesting reading of the Yerushalmi, but he says, can't be Erev Yom HaKippurim, then he would have had plenty of time to be tar. So it must be like Rashi says over here, Rashi's not being cholik on the Yerushalmi, and he went to speak with the Melech Erev on Yom HaKippurim itself. And the reason the Kohen Gadol, what was he doing in the Shuk on Yom Kippur itself? It must be for Kvodo Shel Melech. The Melech was there, and he went to visit. He had to go for Kvodo Shel Melech. They had to send the most important Jew on Yom HaKippurim. However, in the Tosefta, it doesn't sound that way. The Tosefta quotes the same story. The Tosefta in the third parak of Yuma quotes the same story. It says Maisa b'Shimon ben Karachis, gives him a different name also. She yatzal ledaber im hamelech aravis v'nitza. I'm sorry, it does sound that way, that it's Melech Aravis, that it's a Melech of such a town. So it makes it sound like that there is such a place that has a Melech. Another issue, the Tashbetz in the Tshuva, raises the question: Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu make a nes for him that there should be no tumah for a Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur? We said that we learned earlier that there was a nes for the Kohen Gadol and was never Roa Keri, never became a Bel Keri in Yom Kippurim. So why wouldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu make the same nes for? It's hard questions to ask. These Rishonim ask these kinds of questions though, but it's very hard to ask these kinds of questions for Achronim. Why did Hashem do this nes and not that nes? Hashem decided which nes to do, which nes not to do. But the Tashbetz raises this question. He says something interesting. He says that the nes of not seeing Keri was after we were mafresh him 7 days from his wife, and in order to avoid seeing Keri. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a nes for somebody. The person does something where he goes out of his way to avoid this situation. So Abba L'tayr, Misayeh, so literally L'tayr, he wants to be tar. Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to be Misayeh, that'll be tar. But Stam, just to make a nace that he shouldn't have any tumma when he talks to anybody, what did he do to earn that nace? That sometimes a person has to do something to earn the nace. But then the Tashbetz rejects that that, and he says, no, the reason Hashem made a nes that he shouldn't become Balkari is that it would be a big g'nai for the Kohen Gadol to become Balkari. That's a tumah yotzei migufo. That's an inherent tumah that's from his body. But to contract tumah from somewhere else is not as much of a g'nai. So it's not as much of a need for a nes. It's not such a g'nai for a Kohen Gadol. He became tummy because someone spit at him or something. So that didn't come from him. The tumah wasn't from him. That wouldn't be as much of a g'nai. Another story the Gemara says is Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. He went to talk to an important person in the shuk. And again, this person had this saliva go onto the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. And his brother Yosef took over and became the Kohen Gadol that day. And once again, his mother got to enjoy seeing two Kohanim Gadolim of her children on the same day. Tos Rid points out, well, what happened to Yosheva? Why was Yosef taking over now? So he says two possibilities. Either Yosheva died, or Mishum Chulshas Daito of the Kohen Gadol, we don't want to keep having the same backup take over for him, because that's one of the things. We don't want the Kohen Gadol to feel like his tzara is bebayis already, that his competitor is in the house already. So we don't want to keep having the same person. Then you get then he's going to start to feel that the backup is getting comfortable in the position already. So we would never have the same backup served twice. So that's why it was a different brother each time. It's a Malam B'Kodesh problem, yeah, but part of the Malam B'Kodesh issue was the Mishum Chulsh of the Kohen Gadol. We didn't want him to have a Chalisha Sadas. That's why we wouldn't go back to being the Kohen Gadol, right? He wouldn't stay on the status of a Kohen Gadol. It's a very famous Gemara. Kimchis had seven sons, and they were all Mishamish Bekuna Gadol. They all got to be Kohen Gadol. So the Chacham said to her, what did you do to be Zochet, have seven sons become the Kohen Gadol? Now, in order to have seven sons become the Kohen Gadol, it means six of them had to become Tamei or die in order for the others to become. But still, to be able to see all of her children rise to that position, so she must have had some special zuchus, Samar Lahem. So she said, my zuchus was miyamei laro koros pesi kilei sa'ari. She said, I never, the walls of my house never saw my uncovered hair. She was so makbid about tzniyus, she was so makbid about covering her hair, that even inside of her house, when no one was there, the walls of her house never saw her hair uncovered. It was that zuchus. Amrullah, they said to her, I don't know if it was that zuchus. Harbi also came lohu yilu. A lot of women do that, and they don't have seven sons becoming kohanim gedolim. So it's unclear exactly what they meant, what point they were trying to say to her when they said a lot of people did that, it didn't work. The Meiri says that they were trying to say, Baruch Bal Hamilznayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu weighs everything and he figures out which zuchus is going to be for what. So yeah, a lot of people might do that same mitzvah and they'll be rewarded some other way, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu figures out how to reward who. So, but you're right, it is that zuchus that it did it for you, but it doesn't do it for everybody. The Mabit says no. He says that they must have been telling her, you do something else very special, because it wasn't that zuchus. If it were that zuchus alone, then a lot of other people would have it also, because this is something that was fairly common. The Nosei Kelim and the Shulchan Aruch talk about this Maila of Kimchis, meaning one would have thought. Rav Reuven Feinstein once told me, I once asked him about when, right after I got married, I asked him if my wife has to cover her hair in front of her brother and her father, and he said, Kimchis, he said, it's one thing we know about covering the hair, is that whatever extra level of tznius you take, it's all appropriate. I mean, a lot of times with chumras, it's my high, you're going to take upon yourself a chumra that's beyond you. It's inappropriate. Take upon extra chumras all the time. But this we see from this Gemara, that even though it is an extra chumra, it's way beyond what the halacha requires, but it's always appropriate, in that we view it as an appropriate chumra to take on extra chumras of tznius. Rav Shechter points out in Neretz HaTzvi that what you see from here is a deep connection between tznius and Ashras Hashchina, that Kohen Gadol is the one that encounters the Shechina in the most intense level of any person in Klal Yisrael. He says, there's a practice in America for many years that even women who never ever covered their hair, when they came to shul, they covered their hair. That women who never wore stockings, when they came to shul, you don't come to shul without your hair covered and without stockings. That was always an intuitive thing that women knew. So Rav Shechter points out that that's probably based on this concept that in a makom of hashras hashchina, that tznius has to be a little more intense. That there was this intuition that it's not appropriate to not cover your hair in general. But even women who didn't cover their hair, dafka, they knew that when makom of hashras hashchina, it has to be an extra sense of tznius. It's a Rashi al Torah in Parshas Truma, v'chafalta seiria shishus al mul pnei ha'ol. So Rashi says it's doma lekalat snua hamuchusa b'tziif al pneha. When we describe the makom of the shechina, we use the mashal of a kalat snua. So it's the zchus of the tznius that we're zochet to gilui shechina. He says in Parshas Kitzeitzei v'lo yirbucha ervas davar and v'shav me'acharecha. That if there's a lack of tznius, v'shav me'acharecha, the shechina leaves us. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to leave when there's a lack of tznius. So that's why Bilam has to come up with a way to trip up the Jewish people. So what does he say? Elokeichem shelelu sonei zimahu. You want a Kodesh Baruch Hu to leave them? You want a Kodesh Baruch Hu to abandon them? You want the Shechina to leave? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sonei zima. So that's the level of tznius that that dafka in a makom of Hashras HaShechina in a Beis HaKnesses, more so than outside of the Beis HaKnesses, because the makom of Hashras HaShechina should always have that extra level of tznius. But anyway, this was the chumrah of Kimchis, to which she attributed the fact that her children all became Kohanim Gedolim. And again, not required at all, lahalacha, but it's the chumrah that she had. Now, the Tosi Shanim says, literally, the walls of her house never saw her uncovered hair. Did she ever wash her hair? Like, how did that happen? So Tosi Shanim says, it means within reason, as much as possible. Meaning, obviously, if she needed to, they say that the mother, I think in Paradar, it says that the mother of the Chazanish, when she would wash her hair, she'd have people holding curtains around her so that the walls of her house should never see her hair uncovered. And she's attributed that to having a son like the Chazanish to that. So the mother of the Chazanish held not like the Tosi Shanim. The Tosi Shanim would hold that's unnecessary, meaning that it means within reason that when you're washing your hair, then obviously the walls of the house will see. So okay, Tan Rabbanan. So back to the Avodah of Yom Kippur. Tan Rabbanan, Bekomtso, Shalo Yasa Mida Lekomets. Bekomtso means it has to be his komets. We don't make a measuring kli to measure out how big a komets is. It's whatever the Kohen Gadol's komets is. So the Kohen's komets is Komtso. We're now not talking Malachafnav anymore. We're not talking about Ketoris anymore. Now we're talking about the kmitz of a Karban Mincha. So when we take the kmitz of a Karban Mincha, the three fingers full of a Karban Mincha, to burn as the part of the Karban Mincha on the Mizbech, so that's become Tso. It's his personal comments. So Yibayilu, Ma'ushi Yasa Midal Chafina. So we know we don't make a kli to determine the size of a kmitza. What about the Chafina of Yom Kippurim, then when he's going to take the Ketores? Hasamu Dixiv become Tso, Avalacha Deloksiv Bechafnav, Ela Melo Chafnav, Ketores. Do we say that since it says Bikom Tso, so Dafka over there we say by the Kmitz of a Karban Mincha, we say that it has to be just whatever size his hand is, but by the Chafina of the Ketores, maybe it's different? Or no, maybe from the fact that he used the word Melo by both, so we learn the Chafina from the Kmitz of the Karban Mincha. So Tashma Aligmar says, let's bring Araya. The Mishnah says that this was the measurement of the chafina. So my love, shem ratzalasus mida osa. Doesn't this imply that if he wants to make a mida, he wants to make a meaning? It tells us kachos midasa to let us know that if the Kohen Gadol wanted to make a kli that measures the size of the chafina that he needs, he should make a kli the size of his hands. And that's isn't it telling us that he's allowed to make such a kli, that you're allowed to have such a kli for the ketores, even though you're not allowed to for the kmitza of a karban mincha? Says Marlo, Hachi kamer v'kachay yechozer v'chofna lefnim. When it says v'kachay yisum midasa, it doesn't mean that this was the midah so that you should know in case you ever want to make a kli. It means that he would pour it from the kaf once he was inside. I mean, once he was inside, he wouldn't just sprinkle it from the kaf directly onto the coals. He'd have to put it back in his hands and then use from his hands, drop it onto the coals using his hands. So that's what it's telling us for kachayis midasa, that same measure of ketores that he took in the first place to put into the ladle, to put into the spoon, he's going to have to take out of the spoon to sprinkle onto the coals in order to burn the ketores. Shamina chofin v'chozer v'chofin. So then this is a raya to the shayla the Gemara is going to ask later on in a couple of dapim, that they do take a chafina twice, that he does it again lefnim. So says Gemara, no, dilma shem ratzal asos mida osa. No, because that's not a raya, because maybe what it's telling us is that he's allowed to make a kli. Meaning we don't know exactly what it's telling us. It's telling us either, we're not sure exactly what that line in the Mishnah is telling us, v'kach leis midasa. But you can't prove either one, because it could always be the other one. You can't prove that it's telling us you can make a kli, because maybe it's just saying that he should do the chafina again b'finim. And you can't say that it's a raya that he does the chafina b'finim, because maybe it's just telling us he can make a kli. We don't know. It could mean either one of those two things. Inami shlo yachsa v'shlo yosir. Maybe it's saying that this was the midah, that it has to be exactly mitzumtzum. He shouldn't have any more or less than his hands full. That he has to measure exactly the size of his hands full. Tan Rabbanan, melo kamtso yachal mevuratz. Melo kamtso, you might think that it's heaping. Tan melomar bikomtso. I bikomtso yachal afilu brashe etzbosav. I might think that even on the tips of his fingers. Tan melomar melo kamtso kedekamtsi yinshi. That it's a kmitza the way people would normally take a kmitza. Haketzad. How does one take a kmitza? Chof hasholosh esbosav al pisas yado v'kometz. He bends over three fingers over the palm of his hand, and then he takes that out of the mixture, and that is the kmitza. Ubimachvas v'marcheshes. So that's all you need to do when it's still flour. But what if it's already been baked or fried? So the karban mincha, we often think of a karban mincha when he takes the kmitza, it's just flour and oil. No, but very often he's taking the kmitza from something that's already been baked or it's already been fried. So what do you do when you take a kmitza like that? The whole thing's going to come up with it, because so you have to clear off anything, any of the extras. So the part of the clearing off, using the fingers to clear off the extras, that's not when it's still flour. When it's flour, you don't need to do that. It clears itself. That's only when it's a machvas or marcheshes. So mochik begoldo min lamalu betzbo katana min lamata. So he smooths it out with his thumb on the top and with his pinky on the bottom. So v'zui avod kashish of mikdash. And to do that is avod the kashish of mikdash. That's one of the hardest things to do in the base of mikdash. So it says gemara zui v'su lo. It's just that's the avod the kashish of mikdash and nothing else. There are va'ika malika va'ika chafina. There's malika. There's chafina. These are also avod the kashish of mikdash. El zui may avodos kasha shem mikdash. No, taking the kmitza and clearing it off is amongst the most difficult avodos in the mikdash. It's not the most difficult, but it's amongst the most difficult avodos in the mikdash. The Rishonim discuss what it does seem very difficult. In fact, it seems too difficult. Why doesn't he just use his other hand and wipe it off like that? Why does he have to use his thumb and his pinky? Why can't he just use his other hand? So Tosus writes in Maseches Ksuvos. That he can only be mochik begodl milamala, not with his yado acheres, because the avoda has to be done by yamin, and this is part of the avoda. So avodas yamin is avoda, but he can't do avoda with the left hand. In the Briska Rav, in his chidushim to Maseches Menachos, he says that it's muchach from Tosos that the mechika is part of the avoda of the kmitza, and therefore it has to be done by yamin with avoda. Meaning one would have thought the kmitza is the avoda, the mechika is not. No, but you see from Tosfos that the mechika is also avodah shebemikdash, and he says that's why you can't have another kohen come and do the mechika. Meaning that's why, you know, Chaznish says I have another etzah. Why don't you have another kohen come and wipe it off? You don't want him to do it because his left hand. Have another kohen come with his right hand and do it. He says no, because if it's avodah, you can't do avodah b'shtayim. You can't do avodah with two kohenim at the same time. So the whole point of that Tosfos is that it's avodah. So that's why all of these other suggestions are not going to work. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, by Rabbi Shua ben Oza'a bein habeinayim shom lo kamtso mahu. What about the part that's stuck in between of the melo kamtso? What's the din of that? So amra papa de gavaylo, meaning the in between the fingers, the flour that's stuck in between his fingers. We know whatever is in his three fingers full, that gets burnt. Whatever's left outside, that's the shirayim that gets eaten. What about the stuff stuck between his fingers? So amra papa de gavaylo tibayelach devade kometsu. Certainly, if it's on the inner part where it wouldn't be at all visible from the outside, so that's certainly part of the kmitza. That which is totally on the outside, that's certainly the shirayim, and that's certainly not part of the kmitza. What about right in between, like smack in the middle, in between his fingers? So what's the din of that flower? That Yoshua ben Elzah was later poshet. He answered the shayla and he said, "Oh, it's a suffix." So Tosfos raises the question: What do you mean? Hadar Pashat. He wasn't sure. What's the status? What does it mean we're not sure? We have a suffix. So, don't worry, I got the answer. The answer is it's a suffix. That was the question. The answer is not a suffix. So Tos says it could be that Meikara, the Gemara, thought to be Poshet, the suffix. And then we say, the Maskana is, we're not going to be Poshet, the suffix. It's always going to have the status of a suffix. Or, says Tosos, Meikara, the Gemara had a suffix, whether Beni Beni is a suffix, if it's Kometz or Shirayim, or if it's Tevel, it's like a Mincha that never had Kemitza taken from it. And the Gemara says, no, it has a din of a suffix of whether it's Kometz or Shirayim. It's not Tevel, that part it's not. That it's definitely not. He says, Nafkamina, if it gets mixed in with Chulin, the chulin, the azara that gets eaten together with karb mincha, so because tevel is not batel even b'mashuhu, but if it's a suffik, then it would become batel. If it's suffik, whether it's the kemitz or the shirayim, then it would become batel. So heichi avida, amra b'chanina maktir komitz l'chudei tchila v'adr b'na b'naim. So what should he do? First, he should be maktir the part that's definitely the kemitza, and then burn that part b'na b'naim. Diyam b'na b'naim b'reisha. If he were to be maktir that part first, dil m'shirayim ninu v'avli shirayim shechasur ben kemitza l'aktara, then it would be risky, because it might be the shirayim, and that would be like losing some of the shirayim between the kemitza and the burning of the kemitza. The halacha is, if you lose some of the shirayim in between the kemitza and the akhtara, you're not allowed to be maktir the kometz anymore. So, but wait a second, don't we say that anything that's shemenu li'ishim, once you put it on the eish, so isn't it a violation of bal taktiru? Meaning once you are to the comets, isn't everything else but bal taktiru that you're not allowed to burn anything else? So I'm reading the brayer of Shimon Pazi, the maktir le'lishumetzim. No, we're not maktir it as ketores. We're maktir it like it's wood. We treat it petores etzim. Karbelaza, the time of blazer omer lereich nichoch yatamala avla atamala le'lishumetzim. Whatever's left over after the kmitza, you're not allowed to be mala as a reich nichoch, but you're allowed to be mala as etzim. Hanich le'rablaza, the rabbanon ma'ikel meimer. That's great. It feels like rablazer, but what it feels like the rabbanon? So amar of Mari, the kamti shmeni. You're right. We have to avoid the entire situation. We can't have anything stuck between his fingers. So we have to make sure that we have a kohen that nothing's going to get stuck between his fingers. We find the kohen with fat fingers, and he's the one that does the kemitza. So once we say that, so we have to say that according to Reb Lazar, the Reb Lazar was not matya to be malashi rayim l'shem etzim only because of tarova sevariola that were never yotzel beis reifa, but l'chachil we would certainly use kamti shmeni. We would certainly use a kohen who has fat fingers in order to avoid the issue entirely. The Rabbi Yaakov Enden is a little bit bothered by this. He says it's not mistaver that only kohanim with fat fingers are going to be able to bring a korban mincha. That regular kohanim who don't have fat fingers are not going to be able to bring a korban mincha. That they dafka have to have chubby fingers. He says it's not mistaver that the kohen gadol in Yom Kippurim that wasn't fat they'll find another kohen to do the kemitza. Very, very difficult to imagine this. Miri says mitoch. Meiri says because of this it's roy liver le kmitza kohanim sheyedem shmenus ubalus basar shle yikonis davar benetz bo seim. He says as lashon roy liver that it's an appropriate chumra to try to find kohanim who are able to who fit this qualification. One of the many qualifications that we look for. No one's going to fit every single qualification, but it's one of the many qualifications that we look for. The Rambam leaves out the entire din of bena binayim, and therefore he leaves out the din of kamsi shmenim, of using kohanim with fat fingers. That's a little bit difficult also. Well, how does he leave it out entirely? So that's also difficult to understand. Okay, Bez Hashem will pick up with Rav Papa Shailas about kemitza and about chafina tomorrow.